50th anniversary. Well, we'll rock it in here then. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, that's awesome. All right, well, how's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see y'all. Kind of, I guess we're beginning into the home stretch for summer being over. And I guess the Hartford Fair is going on this week. Anybody going to the Hartford Fair? Do you know, I grew up in Heath my whole life and never went to the Hartford Fair until, was it last year, Pam, a year before? But anyway, never had been there and moved out to Utica, and now it's like a perennial tradition now to go to the Hartford Fair. So Pam and I are going tomorrow. We're going to go to the Hartford Fair and take some kids with us, have a good time. So we got the Pfisters are showing their bulls and their sheep, so we're going to get out there and do that. Bulls, cows, I don't know what they are. Steer, thank you, steer. No, Bill, but I'm sure if I do, you'll volunteer. So, woo, yeah, it's really. My daughter always takes me to Columbus out to eat when special occasions come, and she always tells me I belong in the city. She always I was driving home the other day, just kind of chuckling, you know, how the Lord will put you in the most unlikely places, you know. You just can't. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, taught by Gamaliel, and just really bright and sharp, knew the Bible inside and out. And where did God send him? To a bunch of Gentiles that didn't know Job from Malachi, right? Just out there preaching to Gentiles that didn't know the Bible at all. And Peter was an ignorant and unlearned fisherman. That's how they described him. And he went to the Jews and taught the gospel. Isn't that something? Now, what does that tell you? It's not my message. But what does that tell you? Yeah, God doesn't need your brains. He doesn't need your smarts. He doesn't need you. God chose to use Peter, who was uneducated, to teach the educated. And he took a very educated man and sent him out to barbarians. And God can use any willing vessel. Isn't that awesome? I think Amy said something about that, about God hearing us. God doesn't look at us according to the flesh. You know, even like we've been teaching on David downstairs. And, you know, King David was a small guy. He was the least likely to be chosen to be the king. He's small and probably a thin guy, out guarding the sheep. His brothers were bigger, taller, maybe smarter, who knows. But David was chosen by God based upon his heart. So it's not your physical appearance or your intellect that God is looking at. He's looking at your heart and your availability. Isn't that good news? Because, you know, as I'm getting older, I thank God for that, you know, that God's not looking at me and disqualifying me because I'm aging and getting older. And I like that verse of scripture today, or that song that said that even though I'm weak and my flesh could fail, God, you will never fail. We're not supposed to be walking in the flesh anyway, are we? No. Our call, be strong in the Lord. That's a lot of our problem, where we try to be strong in ourselves. And the Bible says be strong in the Lord. So with that in mind, flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk about salvation in three dimensions. I'm going to start a series on it. But before I do, I just have to, and it's kind of what prompted me this morning. You know, how many of you have heard about what happened in El Paso? You guys hear about that? It was almost 30 people, I think it was 30 people that were shot and killed in El Paso. Now, they've raised the count. I think they've raised it up, and there were people that were injured. And then I woke up this morning. That happened yesterday. And I woke up this morning, and there were 10 dead in Dayton, 9 people, and then the shooter himself was killed. I'm thinking, man, you know, and I've seen people posting about it, and I'm thinking, you know, this is just crazy, all these shootings in our country. And I'm not going to weigh in politically. Number one, it wouldn't be time for it. Number two, I just don't want to. That's not my point. I'm not making any political point. My point is, what I thought about it, I began to think of that scripture. It says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Why would somebody just go out and kill 30 innocent people? Why would somebody do that? You know, you know, that right, obviously, you know, that they've got issues in their life and spiritual problems, you know, and the same with the person, whatever their motivation is, it doesn't matter. It's a wicked motivation. And I was reminded of that scripture that says we don't wrestle flesh and blood. And I was thinking, you know, in the summer we have a good time. You know, Jeff, I noticed you were out driving. Was that your mom you had in the car with you?
Yeah, but that's a
couple-year-old. But you had the top down, and I've seen you out driving, and we're going to the fair, and a lot of good things are going on in our world. We're enjoying it. But all the while we're enjoying our world, it's almost sometimes like we're blinded. The Bible says that this present world is evil. Did you know that? It says this present evil world, or this wicked world, it says the God of this world has blinded those that don't believe. Okay, he's deceiving people that don't believe. And we live in a wicked world. You know, a lot of negative things go on. Even while we're enjoying life and we're planning things and planning on having a good time, negative things happen. We had these two little cats. They're our neighbor's cats, and they came to our house, and we started feeding the cats and giving them, actually there were six of them, they were just as cute as they could be, and then four of the cats were tragically killed, you know, just like boom, they're gone, and it was really a tragedy. And then we came out one morning, and one of the cats, its jaw was swollen out to here, had a big old gash in her neck, and you know, and here you're enjoying these kitties, they're so beautiful and so cute, and yet at the same time, there's this destruction. Four are gone, the one, and it broke my heart. I love cats, and it broke my heart to see it. And Pam and I, you know, we took the, actually Pam, when I say Pam and I mean Pam. We took the kitty to the vet and got it some, and it's doing better. We prayed for it, waited a few days, didn't get any better. So we took it to the vet, and it's on some type of antibiotic, and now it's getting better. But there's even worse things going on in all of our lives, I know. While there are good things going on in your life, I know many in the church have negative things going on at the same time. Jeff was talking about family members needing to be saved, and I know many of us are concerned about our grandkids and our kids. Maybe they're lost, or, you know, there's a whole realm of issues out there that our family's experiencing. And in the joy of summer and the joy of going out and having a good time, we can't let go of the fact that this is a fallen world. And it doesn't take a lot to see that we live in a broken, fallen world. You know, people, just in everyday life, people hurt each other. You know, married couples hurt each other. Families hurt each other. There's brokenness, division, and strife all over the world. And we're trying to create a paradise sometimes in a place where we're not in paradise. Do you know that? There is stuff truly broken. There are people that are really broken heart. Had a good friend come over to my house yesterday, and he said, what's happened to Nurk? You know, in fact, my buddy's here today. He said, what's happened to Nurk? What do you mean? I think downtown Nurk looks beautiful. They put the new turns in, and they got flowers up now, and Nurk looks really nice. But that's not what he meant. He said, I went downtown Nurk, and I saw, you know, hundreds maybe or dozens of homeless people down there on the street. And there was actually even a fight, like breaking out. People were fighting. And most of these folks, I know at the 196 Vertical and downtown Newark, they're on drugs. Now heroin and meth, and if you lived in my world, you'd see this stuff all the time. And just people taking meth, taking heroin, and some of them are dying. They're like kind of dying one at a time so you don't notice it. And some of them seem to be able to do drugs for 20 years and they may escape death. Others may do it a couple times and they die. It's like playing Russian roulette. Danny, you talked about the young girl in Haiti that needed, she had problems with her eyes. I remember we saw the video of the girl. Folks, this world is not paradise. We do not live in heaven yet. The Bible describes this world as fallen. And I hope you know that, because sometimes I think we're trying to concoct a life, or our expectations are that we're going to somehow live in nirvana or some perfect world, and we don't. Because even if your world was perfect, let's say that all your family's saved and you're walking in health and all your financial needs are met and you're happy and you're joyful, let's say you were Jesus and you're one with God and life is good, you're in communion with God, you have a perfect relationship with God, you're loving other people and you're going around and you're doing good, well, they put him up on a cross. Amen? The only perfect person that ever lived, they put him up on a cross. And even while he was on earth, he mourned. So even if your own life is together, you can look around in this world and you see the sorrow and it'll break your heart for what you see. And if it doesn't break your heart, it's because you're not paying attention. Sometimes it breaks my heart when I look out and I see, and it bothers me. Actually, it bothers me when it doesn't break my heart. One of the things we do is we try to protect ourselves and insulate ourselves in our little world and not go beyond our little happy little world to stretch out and to reach out to this suffering world. As Christians, we are a light in this world. I gave a word the other day to somebody. The Bible says, you ever heard someone say that they're so heavenly minded, they're not earthly good? You ever heard that? It's impossible. You can't be so heavenly minded, you're not any earthly good. It's impossible. Paul said, set your affection, set your heart on things that are above where Jesus is, not on things on earth. If we set our affection and our heart on earth, we set it in our relationships, we set it in our goals, we set it in life, you will be heartbroken. You will be disappointed. Things will happen in this world. Those people that walked into Walmart, they were shopping for school supplies. They were out shopping for their kids' clothing for school. They were minding their own business, and man, they had no idea what was going to happen in their day. And don't you believe out of the 30 people, some of them had to be Christians, right? So the Bible says we set our affection on things above. We put our hope on things above. We set our affection on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and not on things down here. And when we set our affection on things above, we set our hearts on things above, God then comes into our life and brings fullness into our life. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I love to quote that scripture, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. We were designed and created to worship God. We're designed and created to live our life to God. You cannot be disappointed in your life if your focus is to worship God. Right? God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never leave you. So if we get that, so much of our hurt, and I've seen this more and more in the church, so much of our hurt is because we're putting our hope in people. We're putting our hope in jobs. We're putting our hope in relationships. We're putting our hope in all these things, and all these things will be stripped away from you. Amen? I don't want to get into too personal about it. I'll just be very brief on it. But Pam and I have a beautiful granddaughter, May, and we love May. We're going to get to see May here in a couple weeks. And you just start setting your heart on that. You have plans, and you're so excited, and you're spending time, and you begin to focus on something so beautiful as your granddaughter. And then all of a sudden, my son and May's mother had a problem, and for about a year, May was stripped out of our life. It is terrible, but it happens all the time. We're not the only ones in the church that have experienced that. You set your heart on something, you put your heart there, it can be stripped away from you. Everything we have in life can potentially be stripped away from us. It's true. So what I've seen with a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, the reason we have so much disappointment, misery, and sorrow is we're putting our trust and our hope in everything but what the Bible tells us to put our trust and hope in. Amen? And then what we had to do, and we've talked about this, we had to set our affection not on earthly justice, not on things on this earth. We started getting the lawyer, and the Lord, we had to quit the whole process. And the Lord said, set your affection on me, set your hope on me. And whether we ever got to see May again, our hope was in Jesus. And now May's back in our life. We're able to see May. And all that has been restored. But if our hope hadn't been in the Lord, there's nothing but disappointment. How many people, and we know people now in the body, in relationships that have broken their heart. People change, and you don't know why people change sometimes. You're dating somebody, and now I have a friend of mine right now, and he's in a situation where just out of nowhere, his wife started disappearing at night and saying she was taking drives. You can imagine what's going on night after night where she wants to take a drive every night. And his life suddenly just collapsed on him, and he's almost having a nervous breakdown because he put his trust in a situation and it's breaking his heart. People disappoint us. Situations disappoint us. Governments can disappoint you. Anything that we set our affection on or put our hearts on can disappoint us, let us down, and bring us heartbreak. That's why the Word of God says, trust in the Lord at all times. Trust in the Lord at all times. Put your hope and affection in God at all times. And even this life we have, the Bible says it's a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. Don't even put all your stock, and I want you to succeed, and God wants you to succeed. He wants you to bear much fruit. He wants you to have a good life. He wants to bless you. But we should be building for a future life. I'm 60. I had my birthday last week. My race is probably at least, what, half over? Two-thirds over. You know, many kids and guys I went to high school are already deceased. They're already into eternity. Just had a relative, my sister-in-law's brother, passed away this week. He's gone. He was my age, 60 years old. I've been to many birthday parties with him. I'd spent many time. I don't know what his hopes were when he was working, if he was building retirement, if he had plans to go on vacation, he had plans to do things in retirement. He was saving money for retirement. Maybe he had a 401k. He'll never touch that 401k because he's gone now and he's into eternity. And what really counts is the foundation of his life that he had in God. And I want us to get that. It's not that we can't enjoy life. It's not that we can't enjoy the good things that God brings us. But when you set your heart on them and you put your affection in them and you put your trust in them, they can be stripped away. And then we're surprised when it happens. Like, what a surprise. You know, one day Pam, and I'm well aware of this, she's going to go, or one day I'm going to go. And that's the reality. It's going to happen just as sure as I'm standing here unless the Lord comes back. What happens in this life? It's just one person kind of dies at a time, so we don't notice the shock of it. And we're a little bit older congregation, right? So we can have a bunch stream out all at once. Hey, you know what? In all honesty, if you had the right attitude, Paul said, and I got a message. I want to talk about triune salvation and what God's up to. But Paul said, you know, he said, I want to go and be with Jesus now. I want to go now. I'm just hanging around because of you. You know, for me, I want to be here because of my kids and my grandkids. I want to see them at a certain place. And Jeff, we talked about, I want to see my kids on fire for God. I want to see certain things happen in my life. I want to see those things. I don't have any guarantee that I will see it, but I'd like to see it. But if I wasn't needed, if my job is through, I want the first ticket out of here. Who doesn't want to live in heaven? Who doesn't want to live where there's no shootings, where people love each other, where people appreciate you, where you don't make mistakes, there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. Who wouldn't want to do that? Amen? Amen? So I went out. You younger people don't understand it, but as you start aging, you have people on the other side. I want to see my grandma. There's things I want to do. But now there's still a purpose for me to be here. I still have a purpose. I still have things to do. And because I'm still here, then I want to live and bear the fruit that God has in my life. Amen? And it's not, and you know, in the good things in life, God has put those things in your life. He's given you jobs, and he's given you relationships, and he's given us family. He's done all those things to bless us, and we are to take those things and bring them back to God as a worship back to God. We're to commit our family to the Lord. We're to commit our finances and our jobs to the Lord. We're to commit our ministry and everything we're doing, every vocation. If you have triumph or victory in your work or in your vocation, we want to give God glory and say, God, get some glory out of my life. I'm a cross-country coach. When we beat Northridge this year and we win the county this year and we beat Johnstown, I want to give God the glory for it. Amen? I pulled down a medal in the 60 and older category in the 5K 2 weeks ago. I'd like to give God the glory for it, but no one cares. You're just kidding yourself if you think anybody cares about a six-year-old getting third place. But we want, I care. I don't know what he said. I care. I don't know what he said. Praise the Lord. So, that's my defense. So what made me think along this line, I'm talking about trying salvation or salvation in three dimensions. And I want to talk about what God has done for us in salvation. But when I'm hearing about El Paso and Dayton, and it just reminds me of the world we live in, that no matter how much salvation we experience, there's still a lot of stuff going on around us. Amen? I really do believe that God is healing us physically, healing your body. God is healing us. I felt this morning almost, and maybe we'll do it when the worship team comes back up here, but I felt like there's emotions in this room, people's emotions that God wants to heal. I had a sense of that. I was just waiting on the Lord about that. There are people who have emotional issues right now in their life. God wants to bring healing in those areas of our life. But everything that Jesus did for us, everything that God has done for us in salvation, it's always contested and contended for. Do you know that? Paul says, contend for the faith. We talked yesterday about standing firm. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, go to verse 10. And while you're looking there, I'm going to read Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Isn't that beautiful? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto," someone say, "salvation." We're going to read Ephesians, but hang with me. The gospel is the power of God for your deliverance and your salvation. As I was studying this morning, I looked and I saw this scripture I have on a little poster. It says, "The Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation." Someone say, "The Lord is my salvation." You know, Paul said that the truth was in Jesus. Truth is in a person. So what is my salvation? Your salvation is Jesus. Everything that we have from God, everything that we get from God comes to us. Our salvation is completely through Jesus, on the merit of Jesus, and the truth is in Jesus. And what is salvation? Let me read to you. I was looking at my Greek dictionary this morning, and the Greek word for salvation is soteria. It says salvation is deliverance. It's preservation. Salvation is used in the New Testament as a material and temporal deliverance. That means you're saved from danger. You're saved from apprehension. You can be saved nationally. It says it's personal at times. You can be saved from prison. You can be saved from a flood. It's spiritual, including eternal deliverance, granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in Jesus. It occurs upon confession of faith in Jesus as Lord. For this purpose, the gospel is God's saving instrument. Salvation delivers us from the bondage of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Salvation means that we are saved spiritually, we're saved physically, we're saved totally. When the gospel talks about salvation, sometimes we confuse salvation with eternal life. You know, when you get saved, you are granted eternal life. But that's not what the word salvation means in its totality. When Jesus healed people, sometimes it would say that he saved them. He would heal somebody, and it says Jesus saved them. Well, he saved their body, right? So salvation occurs at a spiritual level when we are born again. God comes by the grace of God, not based upon anything that you've done, not based upon your works, by a sovereign act of God's grace, God saves us. We are born again. And then the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to live in us. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, when people say that I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner. Well, I don't understand that language when people use it. If Jesus Christ lives in you, and he does, doesn't he? If he doesn't, you're not saved. That's just that simple. If your spirit is born again, is your spirit born again? Are you born again? Who lives in you? And if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's no longer you who lives, but Christ lives in you, the clear language of Scripture, where's the sinner at? Well, the Bible says he's dead. Now, you've been born. Now, we'll talk about, you know, why we can still sin. And, we know you can still sin. You have that potential to continue to sin. But you by nature, the Bible says you by nature are a new creation, that you put on righteousness and true holiness. So the first part of our salvation, when we are born again, when we are saved, we get a new nature. The Spirit of Christ comes to live in us, and we are delivered. We now have eternal salvation. Do you know if Jesus lives in you, and you dropped your earth suit, this body, if it fell away, you would immediately be in the presence of God? Isn't that beautiful news? Isn't that beautiful news? We have this great hope. That's why we need to share it with people. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe if you dropped dead right now that your spirit would be joined to the Lord? Folks, if you really believe that, it shouldn't be hard to tell somebody about it. Amen? You don't have to fuss or fight with them. I heard this week there's a thing on Amazon called The Kindness Diaries. This guy traveled all around the world just relying on the kindness of people. And he would go up to people, total strangers, over and over again and ask for a place to stay. He would ask for food and, you know, he would ask for a ride here or there. And he said he had to overcome his fear. He had fear because people would reject him. And I thought in my mind, here's a guy that doesn't know God, that's not thinking about eternity. He's just thinking about surviving from one place to the other. And he's facing fear over and over again, asking strangers for something. And he's willing to face rejection. And as believers, we have the power of the Lord inside of us. We have the presence of God. We have the commission of God. Why would we be afraid to go up to somebody and find out if they want to be saved or not? Someone say amen. You don't have to push it on anybody. Just talk to people. God will open, if you will stop, and I'm going to get back off of that, but if you will stop and talk to people, God will open doors and you'll be able to share eternal life. It's important because if the Bible is true, and we believe it is, if you're not born again and you left your body, you would not go to heaven and you would not spend eternity with God. The Bible does talk about hell and a place of darkness and doom because we live in a fallen world and people serve Satan. When you serve your flesh and your own pleasure, this person that's betraying, you know, her spouse right now, betraying the spouse, it is causing all type of, it's evil, folks. It's not just being happy and live and let live and I want to be happy and there are kids involved. There are other people involved. People are being hurt. Families are being torn apart. It's not just, you know, well, I just want to be happy. Everyone else is being torn apart. It's evil. It's not right. Someone say amen. Amen. I'm not beating. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God and we pray that there's repentance in this situation. But folks, there's more at stake is what I'm saying. There's more at stake here than what we realize. Eternal life is. So the first thing, when Jesus came, he came to give you eternal life. And he died on that cross. We are born again. Christ now lives in you, and we can be led and walk by the Spirit. Put your finger, we will read Ephesians 6:10. Put your finger there and flip over to John chapter 17. Are you guys with me? Are you following me? Okay. I'm talking about salvation. We'll get back to Ephesians. Talking about salvation. This is what we live in a fallen world. Folks, people are separated from God. That's why people shoot each other. That's why people hate each other. That's why racism exists. That's why sexual perversion exists. That's why disease is out there. We live in a fallen world. It's all around us. But Jesus came to rescue us from this present darkness and poured the love of the Father in us to make us whole, to give us a hope, and to give us an expectation. And he's actually, what Jesus really wanted to do, Don, is duplicate himself. He wants to duplicate himself. Did you know that? Bible talks about conforming to the image of Jesus. He's duplicating himself and sending you. He says, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you, Mike. The Father sent me, I'm gone, now I'm sending you. Would you represent me? Would you be that Christian that loves people? Would you be that one that shines for God? Would you be that one that opens his mouth? Would you be the one that represents me in the earth? I love you unconditionally. You don't have to do anything for me to be saved, but I'm asking you because I love you so much. Would you respond to my love and love the world around you? Would you reach out? I'm sending you. So Jesus says in John chapter 17, he says, I'm coming to you now, Father, and I say these things while I am still in the world, that they might have the full measure of your joy within themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Then over in verse 25, he says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and these my disciples know you. They know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So he's saying, I came, this is spiritual, I came to give you a full measure of joy. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I didn't come to take away from you anything good. I came to take away everything bad. I came to take away your sin, and I want to give you the full measure of joy and the love that the Father has for me. Now I'm bringing that love to you. I'm pouring out that love to you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to pour the full measure. Do you know, and I've said this last week, that God loves you just like he loved Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you really? When, I'll tell you, and I wrote this on my board this week, when we believe it, the fruit is produced in our life. God was telling me, I was trying to figure stuff out, and the Lord was telling me, Brad, believe the fruit. Just believe the fruit. You can't figure people out. You can't figure everything out. Just believe the fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. It's that simple. When we believe the gospel, it'll produce fruit in our life. That love of God will naturally be produced when we really believe it. I think there's so much power. This is eternal life, folks. There is so much power in knowing if God be for you, who can be against you? You imagine really walking in the world knowing that that's true, that God's for me, and no matter who aligns themselves. You know, folks, what I see in reality, and I don't want to be negative here, but what I see in reality is when one person lines up against you, most people complain, gossip, slander, or retaliate. That tells me that you don't believe the gospel, that God is going to back you up. He's got your back to the hill. He's got your back. You don't have to defend yourself, fight for yourself, do anything for yourself. If you stand firm in the truth of the gospel, God's got your back. You don't have to do anything about it. All you have to do is shine. So what does the Lord want to do? God wants to bring the full measure of his joy and pour it into your life. And really, folks, it is a process of exchange. It really is. He wants to pour his love into your life. He wants you to have a consciousness, Jacob, that he loves you just like he loves Jesus. No different. A lot of the idols we seek after and the things that we're grasping after is because we're not experiencing that love from God the Father. We're not experiencing the reality of what God really wants to do. So when we are born again, get this, it's already yours. You've already got it. God's love, you've already got it. It's in you right now because Jesus is in you. All you have to do is connect to it by faith. All you have to do is connect to it by believing the word of truth, the full measure of joy. When Peter was beaten for preaching the gospel, and they beat him, and he came out of the beating, and he went back around the people. They had been praying, and he goes in there. He said he counted it a joy that he could suffer shame for Jesus. What a perspective. What a perspective. When someone talks about me, when someone talks about you, can we change our minds a little bit and start saying, can we start being rejoicing in it? In Matthew, it says when someone says something bad about you, it says rejoice in it. Boast in it, because that's how they treated the prophets that were before you. That should be our attitude. We shouldn't be licking our wounds and complaining and crying. When someone speaks evil of you, it says you should shout for joy. You should be dancing and singing. Amen? You have permission, Jace. You should be. That should be the attitude that you have, because get this, because great is your reward in heaven. In heaven. It's also great on the earth, too, because you get the joy of the Lord. We've talked about many times Paul being in prison and still having the joy of the Lord. This is the eternal reality about what God has done for you in your spirit. If we can place our trust in these eternal truths, we won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. Jeff was talking about a guy that kind of was renouncing the faith yesterday and walking away from his faith. Folks, if we're having an exchange with Jesus, if we're in relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we're really walking in our inheritance and we're walking in what God has given us, nobody's going to be able to blow you off of the Word of God. You're going to have an experience with Him. It's going to be Jesus says, I am the reality. You're going to have a reality in your life, Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation, that no one's going to be able to blow you off of. The heaven and earth could pass away, but if we stand on our relationship with God, we stand on the gospel of God, nothing can shake you from it. Nothing. Someone say amen. Is this okay? You guys with me? But this salvation, folks, this salvation is more than just eternal salvation. It's more than just salvation of our spirit. God wants the saving of our soul, and I'm going to get into this in the coming weeks. He wants to renew your soul. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want you defeated. He doesn't want you bowed down. I don't know. Your circumstances can change. People can treat you good. People can treat you bad. You can have a victorious season, and you can have a losing season. Amen? You can have good things happen or bad things happen. But Jesus is steady Freddy. The gospel never changes. The joy and security that you have in the Lord never has to change. You have a rock that you can depend on if you stand in the faith. Jesus says, hey, anybody that believes in me, you'll never be ashamed. You will never be ashamed if you put your trust in me. And folks, that's in our spiritual life, but that's also in your mental life. God doesn't want you mentally oppressed by the devil. God doesn't want you tormented by the devil. God doesn't want your relationships tormented. He doesn't want you living in despondency in your emotions. He wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to be filled with expectation. That's why people do drugs. That's why people jump from bed to bed. That's why people do all these things and get angry and shoot and kill, because they're not emotionally fulfilled. They don't have wholeness in their soul. They don't have the shalom or peace of God. God wants to. We're going to be talking about it in the coming weeks, along with salvation of our body. God wants to bring deliverance to every area of your life, and it all starts from being born again. It all starts from Jesus being on the inside. Paul says in Ephesians 4, and man, this stuff, I tell you, I wish you'd meditate on it because it's good stuff. Paul says in Ephesians 4, we are to grow up in all aspects into Jesus. That's pretty big. We are to grow up in every aspect into Jesus. Salvation, someone say this and I'll stop. Someone say, salvation is Jesus. You want me to stop? If the band could come up, come on up. They're going to worship. Folks, salvation is Jesus. It's fully in Him, following Him. It involves your spirit being born again. It involves your body being healed, and it involves your emotions being restored. You should not be living in torment. Here's what I want to do. I felt this during the worship service that there are folks that need emotional healing. It's 11:57 if you're checking your watch. Still, if you need prayer or you need a touch from God, the altar is open. We'll pray for you. But come forward. I really sense that there are some folks that are struggling in their emotion, depression, despondency, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, wringing of the hands. Jesus wants to give you peace this morning, and He can do it as you focus on Him. Amen.